Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Silly bunch today, aren't we?
We're so silly.
Hey, welcome to Weird.
Hey, I'm Aaron.
I'm Craig.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening. Go ahead.
I'm just waiting for Sarah to talk into her microphone.
She did.
I did.
Oh, there you go.
Hey.
There you go.
I'm here now.
Hug that microphone.
Coming to you from Studio One.
Studio One.
Back in our home studio once again.
Here at the Lee Berry Studios, just outside of Nashville in an undisclosed location.
So how are you?
I'm fine.
I got this big ear.
Yeah, you do.
I woke up with a big ear.
It's huge.
One ear is twice the size of my other ear.
I can't believe how huge it is.
I turned 50 and my body just does
weird things.
It
looks like one of those ears that...
It does.
The
plastic, a joke ear
you put on. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of eerie.
What? How's that?
A little louder. I can't hear you over here.
Anyway, I'll tell you somebody that can hear us is Deanna Considine.
No, seriously. Hide the ear because it's making me nauseous.
It doesn't even fit under my headphones.
You ain't kidding either, people. He's like literally is one headphone's bulging off the side of his head.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, Deanna gave us a 5-star review.
I'm ear to tell you.
And she said, hysterical. How can you not like a show about a wiener drone, Bigfoot, and pizzakinis? Thank you, Deanna.
You can't not like a show.
No, you can't because all that's weird. All that's weird stuff. Speaking of weird, by the way.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
If we were going to do the first story, would we have something that we would play before the first story?
Well, I'm not even up to that yet because okay. I was going to talk about our contest we're having.
Okay, then we're going to talk about what happens when you get to the top story.
So we have this contest because we've been added to the list of podcasts over at podcastawards.com.
The podfather himself.
They put us under Adam Curry, and then they put us under comedy for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't either.
Just don't anybody, don't tell them.
Yeah, but we need nominations because there's a whole lot of podcasts, and we got to get a certain percentage of nominations before we even make the nomination list.
Right.
So if everybody listening will
all six of you,
if please go out to podcastawards.com and nominate Weird under Adam Curry and under comedy, and then go to our Facebook page or our website at www.weirdnewspodcast.com. Leave us a message on our latest episode, or you can send us a note on Facebook, however. And just let us know that you've done that. We're gonna put you into a contest to win a weird prize pack.
Can't quit looking at that ear.
So, and the competition is very, very small right now. Everybody's got a great chance.
We need everyone to just take a minute, you know, during when you're supposed to be working at your job.
Yeah.
Or you're supposed to be taking care of your kid or something.
Whatever.
Stop.
Yes.
You're supposed to be driving your car. No, I'm a kid. Don't do that part. But you need to let's say you're a firefighter. And a fire call comes in.
Yeah.
Just take a minute before you can put the fire out.
Yeah, you got to get the truck warmed up anyway.
Yeah.
Something.
If you're a police officer, you know, there's a robbery going on. All you've got to do is just 2 minutes.
Deanna that left us this review, I believe she has entered already because I saw a note come from her that said that.
You know why?
Why?
Because she's a true friend.
That's true. Hey, you got top story tonight?
Well, can we talk about something else first? Can we talk about how awkward Sarah is having to hold this microphone
this
over here?
This is very awkward.
My microphone stand broke.
I'm really glad no one can see me right now.
Unfortunately, it broke. She looks like she's holding some like large flute and she's about to play some kind of solo.
That's exactly what it looks like.
It does. she's like...
My mic stand broke. And it won't...
She's about to give us a verse of Aqualung over here.
Here we go.
Yeah, so I
she comes from the land down under.
I wish everyone could just see what it looks like. I probably should just take a picture of that real quick.
Hold on. Go ahead and take a picture.
Take a picture real quick of that, and you can post it out there if you want to. Ready? Here we go. One, two.
Here, get a picture of my ear.
Okay, we got to get a picture of Aaron's ear real quick.
Craig is shooting my ear.
Oh, that's hideous.
Yeah, it's bad. I'm telling you.
Take some Dramamine or something before you look at that.
I went to the doctor.
Yeah, just anything to make the motion sickness and the disgustingness stop.
But how? Sarah got a brand new microphone.
And I can't even use it.
Now she can't use it.
She's still got the two turntables.
Oh, top story?
I don't know. Hit the button. Do we have top story?
Top story.
That doesn't work. Ready?
Yeah.
Top story. Man belts out national anthem over intercom at Missouri Walmart.
Okay. First of all, anytime somebody gets on an intercom they're not supposed to be on, That's a 10.
Funny.
That's a 10 in my
Tom
book.
Green used to do that.
That and kills me.
It made me, it was so funny.
And to me, it's even funnier if it's somebody you don't know and you're not, like if you're in the store, if you see a video of it, it's funny, but have you ever been in a store?
I think
and
there's
it happens?
No, and I think there's actually videos out there on YouTube of people running around picking them up and like disappearing. And,
it just cracks
you know
me
what?
Up.
You know what? Don't put the intercoms out where everybody can get
exactly.
to
them. That's
Tom Green was walking up to the registers and picking them up. And they say, you can't do that. So he goes, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't do this. He's like talking into it. I can't do this. Anyway, an Ohio man is gaining viral attention. He should probably, if he's got some viral thing like you do with your ear, he should probably see a doctor.
I hope he didn't get a big ear.
He's you said getting a big head. You got a big ear.
I got a big ear.
He's getting attention after singing the Star Spangled Banner over a loudspeaker in a Walmart while vacationing with his family. James Fruits, named appropriately,
Fruits.
40. Huh?
Fritz.
Oh, they said flute because you were about to play the solo. 40 of Cleveland was captured on video. How do you capture somebody on video? Can he get out?
I hope so.
While performing at the retail supercenter in Osage Beach, Missouri, whatever.
Yeah.
On July 8th, Walmart posted the footage on its Facebook page, where it has received 590,000 views since Tuesday. It's blowing me away, and I'm honored and humbled that so many people are loving it so much. Fruits told ABC News Today, I am happy to brighten people's day and definitely feel like that's my life mission, to make a difference wherever I am. And it says difference.
It does say difference.
It does.
So it's that. So if that's bringing a smile to people's faces while I'm on vacation with a video of me singing the national anthem, then so be it.
This guy's awesome already. I don't even know Fruits, and he's awesome.
Fruits' impromptu performance was filmed by his son, Malachi Fruits, 15.
Mind you, don't cut yourself, Malachi.
Malachi. Fruits. That's a little Stephen King throwback for you. Fruits said he first started singing in the aisle that had American flags on display as part of a friend's dare. After hearing him sing,
even better.
After hearing him sing, Walmart's manager then called him up to the customer service desk and asked him to sing over the intercom. Fruits said,
"Got a little bit of
so
it."
So he was
here.
Invited to. He didn't just do it.
Yeah, and that kind of takes away some of the
your
humor.
Audio clips take forever. Wait, what's
so proud dude's got pipes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's because he was in the hardware section. He's mad because you've only got ears.
I'm hearing this real well.
I wonder if anybody stopped and saluted while he was doing that.
I'll bet. He can sing.
Yeah, he can.
That's very impressive.
He'll be one of these dudes that gets like invited to some big deal.
Oh, I hope so. Now that he's been on the Weird Podcast, everybody's going to know about him.
There you go. You got an audience.
They say, woo!
The peanut gallery there at the Walmart.
Peanuts.
Oh, he belted it. He took it up a notch. Customer service is over there clapping. Yeah.
In the meantime, the grocery aisles are being ransacked.
I don't feel like I should stop it because it's our national.
I know.
Anthem. I know.
I really don't feel like I should be talking over it, to be honest with you. Sounds like he had quite an audience.
Wow. Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's go on down to Florida.
Let me.
You know where the button is.
Yeah, there it is. Florida, I went desert. Headline is, man dies from bullet wound nearly 6 decades after being shot.
What?
How do you like that saussure I put in there? That dramatic pause?
That was nice.
60 years.
That's a really bad case of rainbow wheel.
Florida man died of gunshot wound nearly 60 years after the bullet was fired, a medical examiner says.
It's probably torn up his insides.
The Palm Beach Post reported Monday that the county medical examiner determined that John Henry Barrett, age 77, died in May of an infection and complications related to the gunshot wound and ruled his death a homicide.
Wow.
I wonder if they know who shot him.
Wow.
The 1958 shooting.
There's no statute of limitations either.
No. The shooting damaged Barrett's spinal cord, left him partially paralyzed, requiring him to walk with a cane. At age 19, Barrett was shot by a friend during a fight.
I wouldn't say that's a friend.
Some friend. Sound like something you do to me.
Say,
in my,
friend.
Something you do to me in my ear. The friend, who was not identified.
How did he shoot you in your ear?
Yeah, it wouldn't be a very hard target, I'll tell you that.
What?
I don't know. The friend, who was not identified in the medical examiner's report. See, you got me all flustered. Served time in prison. So he did serve time, but I bet that if he's still living, it's, you know,
oh, yeah.
Chances are not. But Court and law enforcement officials told the newspaper they could not find any records with information about the suspect or the shooting. Barrett worked for 3 decades as a pastor and was a former executive director at the Folky Housing Authority. His family told the Post that Barrett didn't speak often about the shooting, but used it as a way to inspire others. He never wanted to be looked upon as being disabled, said Terrence
Like
Lee.
Like you with your ear.
His great-nephew. He wanted to be looked up to as a normal person in society. And that's the way he lived his life. Barrett told the Miami Herald in 1974 that the injury kept him from working in the fields like many of his friends did, and that might have been a blessing. See, he had a, well, you know what, he had a positive attitude.
Yeah, for a guy that took a slug.
Yeah, and he had a bullet in him. If the accident hadn't happened, so he's calling it an accident even.
Yeah.
I would have spent all my life as a farm worker. Robert Lee, Terrence Lee's brother, told the Post that the brothers have memories of their great uncle's sermons. His voice is very commanding, Robert Lee said. He was handicapped, but if you close your eyes, you hear him speak, you wouldn't know that.
So this guy just the residual damage from, you okay?
Yeah.
The residual damage from this guy's gunshot wound, right?
Exactly.
I feel like I've lost you now. What are we even paying attention at this point?
My ear. It's my ear. You know where we're going now?
Dubuque?
No.
Sheboygan? Australia?
Hey!
We're slapping the best spot.
What did she say?
Slapping the best.
This is a... First of all, this is a family show.
What?
You can't use that kind of language.
What? I don't know what I did.
Nothing. She's jumping in. She's jumping on board with the whole accent thing, I see.
Yeah.
Slapping
the
best.
Hey, what did you do that for, mate?
See, oh, wow. Got it.
I got it.
Do we read the story or what?
Yeah, go ahead. Then, by the way, this story sent to me by Sarah Lindsay.
This is from me.
Nice. She fabricated it?
No, it's true.
Oh, okay. Australian man's thumb surgically replaced by toe.
Oh, that's what they can do with my ear.
Just put a toe there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a toe head.
You'd be a toe head. An Australian cattle worker whose thumb was severed by a bull has had his toe surgically transplanted in its position. Now, I've seen stuff like this before.
Yeah, me too.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Zach Mitchell, 20, was injured in April while working on a remote farming property in Western Australia. A bull kicked me into the fence, mate, Mr. Mitchell said of the incident.
That's not a bull.
He underwent 2 unsuccessful operations to reattach his thumb before doctors opted to relocate his big toe in surgery lasting 8 hours. So I'm going through the pain of losing a thumb, and now you want to chop off my toe.
Yeah, but if you don't have a opposable thumb, life is difficult.
But you got to... A toe.
Well, look
but
at
wouldn't
your thumb.
You fall over without your big toe?
My big toe looks like my thumb.
Your head looks like your big toe. Mr. Mitchell said fellow workers had attempted to preserve his thumb immediately after the incident. They put it into the esky cooler with some ice. Crikey, he told the BBC.
That's not a cooler.
Yeah. Well, he said. Mr. Mitchell was flown to hospital in the state capital of Perth, but efforts to save his thumb ultimately failed. Despite initial reluctance, the cattle worker agreed to the transplant operation at the Sydney Eye, Hospital 2 weeks ago. He was at the wrong hospital.
That's why they did
That's
that.
That's why they didn't know
at
what
the
they
wrong
were doing.
Airport.
They're like, say, hey, watch this.
They say, hey, we don't know what to do, but what we're going to do, we're going to take his toe and put it yeah. where his thumb goes.
We're going to stick it where, I don't know what.
Anybody here go to hand school?
Lead plastic surgeon, or he could have been a man made of lead. Dr. Sean Nicklin said he was not surprised to, it took time to accept. It's a bit of a crazy idea, crikey. The patients don't want to be injured in another part of their body, he said. However, even if you got 4 good fingers, if you don't have something to pinch against them, your hand has lost a huge amount of its function.
That's true.
Crikey.
That's why animals without posable, you know, dogs could do a lot more if they had posable thumbs.
They would be doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
They'd be taking over.
Be crazy.
Mr. Mitchell will need more than 12 months of rehabilitation, but he plans to return to farm work. You know, I'm upset about losing my accent. I've lost it. I'm really upset about this.
Maybe when my ear goes back to normal, you'll
have your
accent.
And it's what it is.
It could be my ear.
It's like a solar flare.
No, it's like I'm getting satellite signals.
I know, and it's disrupting my Australian accent.
Maybe that's it.
The Sydney Eye Hospital said it was rare to transplant a complete toe, given that they only work on eyes.
But they could give him a nice eye, a nice pair of glasses.
Yeah, they could. Like in Mr. Mitchell's case, although partial toe relocations were more common. I'm going to try it again.
Go.
A lot of people think the balance in walking is going to be significantly affected, which it generally isn't.
Now, see, I've always heard if you lose your big toe, you can't stand up, that you topple over.
I topple over anyway. Yeah. Mr. Mitchell's mom, Karen, said he was making a good recovery. 2 weeks since the operation, he's walking mostly back to normal, crikey.
That's not a walk.
See, I've lost it. It's gone.
Oh, yeah. What's the matter with you, mate?
Doctors say Mr. Mitchell should eventually be able to return to his hobby of bull riding. You know, some of our listeners would say I never had it.
Yes. Shall we stay down under?
Yeah.
Okay, Brisbane man.
What, you're not going to play it again?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Brisbane man fined $250 for moving a fridge on a train. Now, this wasn't like a fridge that was on a train that he moved. He took a refrigerator with him on the train.
Did he buy it a ticket?
Nope.
Well, that's the problem.
Turns out you're not allowed to move white goods.
That is racist.
Oh, no, that's racist.
That is definitely racist.
Onto a train in Queensland, even if it's outside of peak hour.
But can you move black goods?
As Queensland Rail security video reveals, two would-be rail removalists in Brisbane had a crack.
Excuse me. White goods matter.
In Brisbane had a crack a couple of months ago.
White goods matter.
The footage shows a man encountering some difficulty as he wheels a refrigerator mounted on a hand trolley from a rail overpass into an elevator. He then maneuvers it onto Bowen Hill's platform and into a waiting train. Security guards then directed him and the fridge back off the train, where he was given a ticket for bringing an oversized item onto the train. The man and his fridge are then escorted back towards... What's he going to do now? He's just trying to get his refrigerator from one place to the other.
Hire a moving company?
I guess. The man was fined $252 for the fridge and more for fare evasion.
He should have thrown one of those Huntsman spiders at him.
Ooh. Coincidentally, ABC State political reporter Chris O'Brien happened to be there at the time, tweeting, "Yes, that's right, fridge on a train." I was fascinated by the sight of a gentleman wheeling a fridge on the platform.
He doesn't get out much then.
And the puzzled reaction. You think if he worked at ABC, he should have. He's seen exciting stuff before.
And if he's been around at all, he's seen a refrigerator.
That's true.
No sweat. App aims to alert office workers when they start to stink.
Oh, I know friends could use this.
Why don't we just alert them? Worried about your body odor?
No.
I like how they spelled that. Odor.
Odor.
Is out of control, but suspect your colleagues are too polite to say anything about it? I think if you're the kind of person that stinks, you probably don't notice it or care.
Probably, yes.
That's just my guess.
Yeah.
If you're that unaware of yourself.
And judging by the reaction of my ear, I've got a feeling that anybody in this room would let me know if I smelled funny or bad.
I'd let you know.
You think you could flap that thing really hard and get off the ground? Just wondering.
I'm in pain, and you guys are just having the time of your lives.
Anyway, there's an app to take care of this problem. A Japanese tech company has begun selling a device that allows people to self-test their sweaty exteriors for three categories of smell. The pocket-sized detector, which looks like a tape recorder, connects by Bluetooth to a smartphone app that divulges the potentially ominous results in a suitably discreet manner. What's it go? You stink. You stink.
Deodorize.
Konica Minolta, the firm previously best known for producing cameras and printers, believes there is a market for the odor checker in Japan because people are particularly sensitive to smell. There is even a word in Japanese for the behavior of office workers who annoy others with their noxious aromas. Sumahara.
Asumara.
Sumahara.
Yeah, you smell harassment.
Hey, you want to read it or you want me to read it?
I'm sorry, go ahead. I got to
I was going to give the big reveal. I was going to give the big reveal, and then you ruined it.
Smell harassment.
Smell harassment. At a launch event in Tokyo on Thursday, a reporter discovered the inevitable consequences of walking 30 minutes in the searing summer sun to get to the venue. A check behind the ear, Aaron.
Ah, I see what you
revealed
did.
Fairly high readings of sweat, smells, and middle fat odors.
Oh.
Immediately, cat is needed, the app warned in that voice in a message on the results page. There was, however, nothing detected in the category Karishu? Karishu, which translates as old age smell.
Oh, that's what you got.
That's what you've got. No, dang it. It's like we both shot at each other at the same time. Dasuki Koda, who is the incubation lead at Konica Minolta Japan's Business Innovation Center, said the idea arose after a discussion he had with several male colleagues, all aged about 40 2 years ago. They were discussing the increasingly intense summer heat and confided in each other that they sometimes were afraid of how they smelled.
We are looking for a device to measure body smell, only to find that there's no device to tell us what different types of smell, Coda told The Guardian. That prompts us to think might be an opportunity for new business, and we continue research further deeper.
Studies show that the number one etiquette concern in the workplace was body smell, Coda added. At the same time, people found it difficult to speak about another colleague's odors.
We see challenges that these people are aware, but nobody has solution for, says.
So good. All right, we've got some KFC in the news here.
By the way, yeah. I mean to tell you this. I think you ever use the app Waze?
Yes.
Waze is great. You can now record your own voice direction guy or whatever.
Really?
And Glenna wants you to record on her phone the Asian accent.
You turn left right here. You turn left here. You turn left. You turn left.
Okay.
She would be crying. She'd be wrecking the car.
Headline is KFC China releasing kernel-themed smartphone.
I want one.
So you can get an extra crispy or you can get a regular
smartphone. I guess. When you deep fry them, doesn't it damage them?
I don't know. It's starting to seem like the KFC restaurants in China aren't really interested in serving chicken any longer.
We know sir chicken.
No, but you want a phone? We got your phone right here. Following the chain's earlier experiments with robot-staffed restaurants.
I'd go there for that.
Sure, and facial recognition technology. KFC, how does that work with twins?
Well, you know, in a small town, facial recognition is, hey, Dave.
Yeah, that's right. Our KFC has that.
We walk in and say, hey.
Hey, it's them weird boys.
I walk in the Speedway. They're like, hey, Craig.
Yeah, we go into Dairy Queen. They're like, you blizzard.
Yeah.
You know. KFC China has teamed up with Huawei, the country's largest smartphone company, to release a kernel-themed smartphone in honor of the KFC's 30th anniversary in China. Both brands have witnessed the rise in China 30 years, and both embody the spirit of the times. Our collaboration is an homage to the era, said Stephen Lee, the senior vice president of KFC marketing for Yum China, in a statement to Campaign Asia Pacific. The phone, named the KFC Huawei 7 Plus,
that's a little dangerously close.
Comes with a red casing and features an outline of the colonel's face on the back. The numbers 1987 are also imprinted on the case to commemorate the year both KFC and Huawei made their debut in China. In addition to its KFC-approved color scheme, CNBC reports that each KFC Huawei 7 Plus comes preloaded with the KFC app, as well as $10,000 K-dollars or virtual credits to spend on said app.
Why can't I spend it on chicken?
Oh, that'd be good. KFC customers who purchase the phone will also have access to a jukebox function called K-Music, which will allow them to choose the songs they'd like to hear over the systems in the...
That's kind of cool.
That is really cool.
That's kind of cool.
I might pick up one of those. Music is part of the lifestyle of young consumers, and they want to be there, have music on demand, explained Lee. KFC Huawei 7 Plus phones are currently available for a limited time on the Chinese online retail site Tmall for 1,099 yuan.
You stop playing wham. You got to leave.
That is $162 here in America.
Hey, can I just take it to one more KFC story?
Sure, go ahead.
I mean, I have to. It's the next story.
KFC what?
They're lost.
No, they're not.
You got to talk into the mic.
Yeah. Okay. I am talking into the mic.
That's two.
You're on thin ice.
Strike two.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Are y'all ready?
I'm ready.
Y'all ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
KFC just dropped a complete clothing collection, and it's actually pretty good.
Oh, I'd wear
Tastes good or
crispy.
Looks good? Mega fan of KFC? Probably not. Why not show your love for the fried chicken aficionados by wearing some of their merch?
And why not?
I saw the cool kids say it. Merch.
I'd wear a chicken shirt.
An entire apparel collection has been launched under the KFC Limited name, and to be honest, it's actually pretty nice. That's what it is. I didn't say that. That's what that says.
That's actually pretty nice.
Highlights include a Fried Chicken USA sweatshirt, Kentucky Fried enamel pins. Wait, they fried the enamel pins? Which have, unfortunately, but understandably, already sold out.
Sure.
And a vintage-style t-shirt. Now, I'm into the vintage-style shirts.
Sure, I am too.
Got $20,000 just sitting around with nothing to spend it on?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't?
Well, then you'll have to opt for the Zinger Meteorite, a chicken sandwich which has actually been carved out of a real piece of space rock.
No, I don't believe that.
Never mind if it's detrimental to your health or...
Let's go back down under, Craig. Headline is, Australian police seek man who did motorcycle burnout in an elevator. Did you like the way I started Australian and ended up?
I don't know. Well, we heard. Well, you know, I've lost mine. So
yeah, that's true. Australian
stinking ear of yours.
Australian police release. Can you smell it?
Yeah.
Ew.
That's gross.
That's nasty.
I'm sure by morning that thing will have its own smell.
Australian police released security camera footage of an unidentified suspect doing a motorcycle burnout in an unusual place.
It must have been a pretty big elevator.
An elevator. It wasn't. I saw a picture from the...
he wasn't doing a... He was doing a burnout, but he wasn't in circles.
He wasn't doing donuts. He's doing a burnout. The video shows the biker, whose face is concealed by a helmet. That's smart. Safety first.
Safety first, kids.
Riding into the elevator at the Munoapara train station at 5:50 p.m. July 2nd and leaving a streak on the floor of the elevator. After riding a few floors down, so yeah, that's hilarious to me. The man then backs the motorcycle into the elevator again and rides back up, filling the enclosed space with smoke as he does a burnout. So he had three floors worth of
burning out. He was like doing a show on every floor.
Oh, man. Police said they are asking members of the public for any information on this thoughtless hoon.
Thoughtless hoon.
What's a hoon?
That's a new one.
In the video.
We're going to use that from now on.
I want to know where Adam, Lee, and Drop D were at 5:50 on July 2nd. I want to find out if they were involved in this.
So you just think you're going to find out?
Watch me.
Hey.
They could tell me. I could probably hear them now from Australia with the ear this size. I feel like Pee Wee Herman.
It's got its own it's got its own satellite system. It's huge.
It's huge.
U.S. Customs agents find cobras inside at JFK Airport.
Not more snake news. What are you doing to me?
You selected the story.
Not really.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents received a slithery surprise when they checked a mail container at Kennedy International Airport. The agency said Tuesday that officials seized 5 live king cobras and 3 geckos during an inspection at the airport
Those
mail
poor
facility.
Geckos.
I know, really. They were just trying to help people save money on their car insurance.
Those geckos, they're like little. They'd be the.
I'm surprised they survived.
It'd be the equivalent of 3 toddlers traveling, like with Charles Manson.
Wow, you really are putting these
Ted
cobras
Bundy
up against
and
somebody else, John Wayne Gacy.
Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rake your story.
If you're
again.
Done going down the list, maybe I could possibly.
I just,
get back
I'm
to find out what happened.
These, I'm concerned for these geckos.
You probably couldn't hear me when I said a minute ago, I'd like to finish the story. Agents first discovered the dangerous contents of the package in an X-ray scan. The reptiles were sent in a container from Hong Kong. We have friends in Hong Kong.
Oh, so we do.
The agency's New York Field Operations Office said the seizures showed... Oh, the cobras were having seizures.
Good.
Shows the wide range, ranging responsibility of the agency. The reptiles have been sent to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Well, that's the wrong service, yeah, man.
King cobras are the world's largest venomous snakes, growing up to nearly 19 feet.
What if you ran into
a 19 feet, wouldn't that make them more like a centipede than it would... I mean, I know it's not exactly the same number, but he's not a snake anymore.
Headline is, Florida driver talks about gator attack. A Florida man who was attacked by an alligator while diving for golf balls in a lake says the reptile grabbed his arm and wouldn't let go, so he started punching in the eyes. Scott Laydock told Fox 13 that he was diving on Friday and felt the alligator clamp onto his arm. He just came up in full blast, grabbed my arm all the way back in his throat, and then he started to roll with me. And I said, uh-oh. Laydock said as he, from his hospital room in the southwest Florida city of Fort Myers, he rolled a couple times, then he still didn't let go. Well, he wouldn't. If he was rolling, he's not planning on letting go.
That's the death roll.
That's exactly what it is. He wouldn't let go, so I knew I had to do something, so I started punching him up by the eye, and then he let go.
You stick your fingers in his nose.
That's what you do. We've learned that. He said he punched the gator in the eyes and managed to get out of the water. He hopped in a golf cart. So
wait,
he gets,
wait, the alligator hopped in a golf cart?
No, the Scott did. I was going to lay down on the green, but I knew if I did, I just don't think I would have made it, he said. Laylock said he made a career diving for golf balls since he retired from the military in 1988. He has 400 stitches and staples in his arm, Craig. 400.
Is that all?
And thinks his diving days are over. I would think so, too. That, you know, a little PTSD pulled me out of that job quick.
Texas prosecutor thought she'd try to get out of a DWI by invoking the power of Facebook friendship.
Wow, there's power in Facebook friendships?
She's got the power!
Dump, dump, dump.
One Dallas County assistant district attorney thought she had the perfect plan to avoid a DWI.
Really?
Leia Lucius had already, I can't say that without saying it that way.
That's
Leia
okay.
Lucius had already driven into a tree and a fence, causing her vehicle to lose a front tire by the time the officers approached her. The 49-year-old driver offered her licensed, she should have offered him a burrito. That's what you're supposed to do.
Half eaten.
The 49-year-old driver offered her license to conceal carry instead of her driver's license and refused to participate in a field sobriety test.
Well, they probably just sit and see your license. And she showed him one.
Yeah, this is a license.
Mine. Yeah.
But that's not the only thing, Aaron.
What else?
Give me a break. We are Facebook friends, Lucius told an officer at the scene. According to a warrant, she was then informed that the interaction was recorded. Needless to say, Lucius' attempt was unsuccessful. Though not initially booked, she was taken to the hospital and suspended from her job.
And this was a Texas prosecutor.
But we're friends on Facebook.
They're supposed to be smarter than that, aren't they? Let's go up north, shall we? The Great White North. Headline is Toronto, man.
Toronto.
Calls police because someone didn't flush the toilet at a restaurant.
Wait. Was it a surprise?
I don't know.
It a surprise? You don't have it anymore,
do
you?
I don't have it, no.
Frequent surprise.
Going out to eat a meal can be tricky. Sometimes the wait takes too long. Other times the meals aren't that great. But once in a while, a bathroom incident leaves you so shocked you have to call 911. And that's what happened in Toronto on Wednesday evening. Toronto police have revealed that a man called to report another man didn't flush the toilet
again,
at a restaurant.
Again, what is wrong with people?
That's insanity.
Are you people stupid? I mean, honestly, our listeners wouldn't do that.
No, and it's not Toronto either. We've had plenty of 911 calls here in America.
You don't call 911 unless life is in danger.
Exactly.
You don't call because, you know,
yeah,
a toilet's not flushed.
No, here
or there's a mouse.
They advertise the sheriff's number, or not the sheriff, but the police number that you call instead of 911.
They do
so
here
everybody
anyway.
Knows it.
I can't ever remember that number, though.
862-8600.
Is that it?
That's it, yeah.
So that's the national area one. So everybody, if you're in Toronto, don't call that number.
Everybody call and tell them weird said hello. Toronto
no,
police.
No, please don't.
Toronto police have revealed that a man called to report another man didn't flush the toilet at a restaurant. And probably one of the best tweets seen this year, Toronto police used the clap emoji, not the crap emoji, to perfectly sum up their feelings about this impolite gesture. In all seriousness, tying up the phone lines creates public safety issues for those in real need of our help. Clap, clap, they said.
You know, we talk about those Tyler people all the time.
Tyler, Texas.
Yeah, Tyler. Yeah. You know how they are.
Oh, yeah, I had a friend named Tyler one time. But he had nothing to do.
Did he have a big ear like you do? Tyler man shows up to jury duty with beer in hand, allegedly drunk. You'd have to. That's the only way he's going to get through it. Yeah. A 23-year-old Tyler man got out of jury duty Wednesday but landed himself behind bars. The man was arrested about 10 a.m. at the Smith County Courthouse after he showed up for jury duty drinking from a large Coca-Cola cup. Coca-Cola sells beer?
I didn't know that.
Looks sluggish and slurring his speech.
I was supposed to be here like at 9:30. I'm a little late.
Courthouse staff members reported the suspicious man to sheriff's deputies at the courthouse. Hey, Dusty, look over there.
I don't think he's drinking Coca-Cola.
Dusty, that man looks suspicious. The deputies said the man was walking in an unstable manner. Why do you say that about me half the time? And appeared to not be in a normal mental state, again, me, when he left the jury room and exited the building, according to an arrest warrant affidavit. When the man attempted to come back inside the courthouse, deputy stopped him. Once he was stopped, he turned the Coca-Cola cup over to the deputies. He turned it over on them?
He said, here, you can have my cup.
Yeah, the rest of
just
it.
Just let me go.
Yeah, the rest of it. I'm drunk. After identifying the man, the deputies asked him what was in the cup, according to the affidavit.
Hey, what's in the cup?
Hey, guy, what's in the cup?
What's in there?
The deputy reported a strong smell of alcohol coming from the cup and found what appeared to be beer.
Beer.
Appeared to be beer. Pretty sure you could figure what it was. Didn't appear to be beer. It's either beer. Or it didn't. The man confirmed that, the affidavit says. The man was arrested and charged for public intoxication. No, he picked the cup back up and drank some more. He went, yep, that's definitely beer.
That don't taste like beer. Headline is, lady tries to take selfie.
She what?
She tries to take a selfie at a gallery and knocks down $200,000 worth of art. Have you seen this video by any chance? They had this art set up in this gallery, and each piece, it wasn't like paintings, they were like sculptures. Each piece was on its own pedestal, and they had them lined up like dominoes.
No.
Oh,
so this
no.
lady gets down in front of the first one trying to take a selfie and leans back, and they just talk.
Is that's she on the hook for that?
I think so. A display goer.
No, they've got insurance
that's
for that
part
stuff.
Of it. That's yeah. part of the show.
You know what? It probably was.
I would have just looked there by ran.
A display goer at LA's 14th factory.
If it was you, they say, well, he was about 5 feet tall and he had a really big ear.
Caused a ruckus as of late when she hunched to take a selfie before a show by craftsman Simon Birch. Hey, that was the little guy.
That's really, really terrible movie.
It's a great movie. Don't say that. I love that movie.
Rip your heart out.
I heard that was a good movie.
It's a sad movie.
It's good, I guess.
And afterward, lost her adjust, Craig.
You and Simon probably saw eye to eye on a lot of stuff, if you know what I mean.
Did you say that's real funny? Did you say this part of this? Afterwards, lost her adjust. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Toppling an entire column of platforms.
She lost her adjust.
That's exactly what it says.
Okay.
And apparently causing $200,000 worth of harm. Good night. The display was highlighted by the Los Angeles Times in a May article entitled Gracious, the Selfies You'll Make at LA's 14th Factory, where the craftsmanship is so social. Which lauded the Instagram-capable nature of the show. So the thing is, it's not her fault. They brought this on themselves by saying, hey, you're going to take some selfies here.
Well, and the thing is, they should have that stuff insured. And most of the time, art's crap anyway, so who cares?
That's true. And I agree with you.
It is.
Yeah.
There, we said it.
What do you got to say about
that,
young artist?
You know what, we
said
it.
Yeah.
Now the flute solo.
Yeah. Aqualung.
Again.
Yeah.
The way she's holding the microphone over here.
Yeah.
Oregon woman arrested for towing kids in a wagon behind her car. Seemed like a good idea.
I want to know what she had in her car where she couldn't fit her kids
in. Yeah, really.
There.
A Springfield woman, maybe they just really smelled. They needed one of those Japanese devices that
yeah.
she could just tell them.
You ride in car. No, you don't ride in this car.
I don't think Springfield, China.
No. Oh, okay. Well, it was a Japanese device.
A Springfield woman was arrested Wednesday. If you're talking about Springfield here where we live, they're probably arrested every day.
No, it's a normal thing.
Normal
where,
thing.
Yeah, where we live.
Springfield woman was arrested Wednesday evening and charged with two counts of reckless endangerment after multiple drivers reported a car towing three children, her 2-year-old daughter, 4-year-old son, and 8-year-old nephew in a small plastic red wagon going around a Disney roundabout.
Mickey was there and everything. Hey, kids, get back in the car.
They got a little wet wagon.
Y'all are going to get some trouble.
Anyway, so they were going around the roundabout multiple times during the rush hour. Police were not initially aware of the third child, and a third charge is now pending.
Good
Lieutenant Scott McKee, a spokesperson for Springfield Police Department, said Friday over
Scotty
the phone.
Scotty McKee? It's Scotty McKee, mate.
Scotty McKee. Said Friday over the phone that Elena Nicole Donahue, 27, admitted to officers that she was towing children behind her white Ford Taurus. I used to have one of those.
Did you really?
Well, yeah, I just got rid of it, remember?
I saw it.
Work with me.
Go ahead. I didn't remember it being white. I never saw it clean.
That is also true. Anyway, she was towing them with a rope attached to the Taurus. Lieutenant McKee told the Oregonian... Is that like a cross between origami and somebody from Oregon?
I think
Oregonian.
It is. Yeah.
Oregonian, Oregon Live, that Donahue told police it wasn't a big deal, that she was showing the kids a good time and only driving 5 miles per hour.
That's even more dangerous, you ding dong. The other cars are going 60.
According to Lieutenant McKee, witnesses saw something different.
Uh-oh.
I talked to a witness today that said she saw them go by her house in their neighborhood, and they were going like 30 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
They're going like 30 miles an hour.
That's insane.
That's what Lieutenant McKee said. He talks like that all the time. He's not a very interesting guy. In a press release, police said a witness reported the youngest child began to cry after the wagon went up on two wheels during the trip.
This is terrible.
That same witness reported observing Donahue pull over and move the toddler from the wagon to the car and then continue driving with the 4-year-old and 8-year-old still in the wagon, police said. Other witnesses told officials that Donahue was holding up traffic and yelling at motorists, telling them to get out of her way and mind their own business.
Okay, she had to be going more than 5 miles an hour. She's yelling at people to get out of her way.
Lieutenant McKee said there was pretty heavy traffic at the roundabout where Donahue was towing the children. Given the time of day, it's right at 5 o'clock. It's a busy intersection. Lieutenant McKee said it feeds from three different directions.
This story is becoming a nightmare.
Look, I'll show you. One, two. There's three. Drivers reportedly became impatient, and some were unable to see what was causing the delay. One motorist told police they pulled out around a car, almost causing a collision. The kids are on short rope, so there's not a margin for error.
Oy.
Lieutenant McKee said, "It's really lucky that nothing more serious happened."
That story is insane. I'm going to ask the same question you asked earlier. What's wrong with people?
Stupid.
They don't even know.
Yeah. Hey, it's time for the Mark Patch Top 10.
And we got a controversial top 10 list this week, Greg.
We don't get political. Whose list is this?
This is an official list from thetop10s.com, voted on by their...
by people.
By their readers.
So this is not a disclaimer. This is not our list.
This isn't a weird list.
No, it's a weird list, but it's not our list.
It's not our... We did not make this list
up. We can't stress enough that we did not place any of these names.
We did not place these
names. In fact,
I
swear here that I've never seen this list until just now.
Okay, good.
So if anybody did it, it was probably Sarah.
And it doesn't matter if we agree with it or not, because we probably do.
We might. I don't know. Saying. We might.
Okay.
Number 10, top 10 worst United States presidents.
That's what this is. I don't think we've even said that yet.
I did say it.
This is the top 10 worst.
Now you've said it four times.
United States presidents.
So it's the top 10 worst United States presidents.
Up to this time, yes.
Up to this time.
The top 10.
Top 10.
Number 10.
Yes.
Warren G. Harding. Harding was clearly one of the worst U.S. presidents, although he is relatively unknown today.
I don't know much about old President Harding.
I believe his own words were, I don't believe, that's what this says.
Yeah.
I am not fit for this office and should never, back then it was probably sped up when he said it.
Yeah.
Really. I am not fit for this office and it should never have been here.
At least he knew.
Harding enjoyed being liked more than he prized being a good leader. While president, he busied himself with golf, poker, and his mistress.
Oh, boy. There you go.
While appointees and cronies plundered the U.S. government, they were dishonest cheats who came to be known as the Ohio Gang. Many of them were later charged with defrauding the government, and some of them went to jail.
How about that?
How about that?
Number 9, worst president in the history of America, Lyndon Baines Johnson. A cowboy who sent thousands of young Americans to die in Vietnam because he couldn't keep his ego and pride in check. To lose Kennedy and get shacked up with this man was perhaps the worst political event that has ever taken place within America. Now, I don't remember Lyndon Johnson as president because
I
was not born yet.
You've lived through 20 presidents.
But my dad, up until the last...
Your dad was Lyndon Johnson?
Up until the last 20 years or so, Lyndon Johnson was my dad's least favorite president of all time.
Duly noted.
Yes.
Number 8 of the top 10 worst United States presidents.
Number 8.
William Clinton.
Billy C.
Bill Clinton took an oath.
Wasn't that bad, Greg?
That was pretty good. What'd I do?
Ask that one young lady over there.
Hey, this isn't impression.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This isn't like the impression.
Go ahead.
Impressions night. Bill Clinton took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. And then, as a sitting president, now again, let me remind everybody: I didn't write this. We're reading somebody else's list.
That's exactly
this is
right.
Not my opinion. I'm reading what it's. I mean, it might be my opinion, but I'm saying,
amen.
But this is just
the comments under these were also written by just people
reading
the website.
Right. I just want to say that again because I'm about to say some pretty rude stuff here. He lied under oath and subverted the rights of a U.S. citizen under that Constitution. As the President of the United States, his behavior as a womanizing cheat is not just between himself and Hillary. That was written really weird. It's a matter of moral turpitude.
Turpitude. You don't hear that word every day.
And is a public concern.
Number 7, Herbert Hoover. Herbert Hoover was an idiot. That's the first sentence. He literally worsened the Depression by raising tariffs, cutting off America from foreign market. He loaned money, but only the rich, helping nobody. He jacked the tax rate up for farmers when they couldn't pay it, as it was. And don't get me started on the bonus armies.
Bonus armies.
Yeah, if you buy two armies, you get one
free. Nice. Number 6, Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson has to be the worst U.S. president this country has ever had. Well, if that's the case, wouldn't he be number 1?
No, that's just this one reviewer's.
Oh, right. And if you know your history, you will agree. Well, that's... pretty confident of that.
Yeah,
with
is.
That statement. First, he wasn't even elected. He was a VP when Lincoln, who could be our best president or at least top 3, was assassinated. He was the first president to be impeached, and after the Civil War, when the country was in rambles and shambles, and violent riots revolts popping up all over the country, he did more to extend the period of nationality, disunity, and contention than he did to heal the wounds of the war and state of the overall country.
Wow. Whoever wrote that review knows their Andrew Johnson history.
Yeah.
Number five, Richard Nixon, also known as Tricky Dick.
You are not a crook.
Anyone who wasn't even corrupted by CNN or ABC could find that this guy isn't the most evil president. Sure, I agree that Watergate was a serious thing and Nixon shouldn't have covered it up, but he did some great things. Well, this is a weird review of a bad president. He caused good relations with China and installed the Clean Air Act. Jimmy Carter and Barack Obama are the worst presidents than he owned.
Again, someone else's comments.
At least he didn't install the bane of health care. I hope you stop focusing on the bad stuff that Nixon did and look at all the great things he did. And why is Warren Harding and Andrew Jackson better than him?
Number four, Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Prior to Obama, Carter was definitely the worst ever. Everybody thinks everybody's the worst.
Yeah.
However, where Carter tried to elicit peace in the Middle East, Obama went out of his way to support the overthrow of many Middle Eastern governments that were either supportive or neutral by radical Muslims who then unified and strengthened terrorism. His economic leadership threw the U.S. into a disastrous recession that eventually became the key item behind his defeat in the bid for second term.
Wow, these reviewers, presidents are leaving, or they're pulling no punches. I'll
and
say.
Again, no hate mail, people. This is not our list.
No, it's not our list.
We're just reading it like you could read it.
I don't know anything about number three, who happens to be James Buchanan. Although Bush, Carter, and Obama were all average bad presidents, it takes a special president to be like Buchanan. He essentially pretended slavery didn't exist and allowed the South to secede. That's it.
Well, now.
How about that?
Number two. And these last two are going to be fair because you get one from both parties.
That's right.
Number two, George W. Bush. W. Bush isn't the worst, but definitely wasn't best. He inherited a weak military with very poor national security from the Clinton administration, went after and caught Saddam, and there were even weapons of mass destruction. I even give him credit for killing Osama. Let's be real, Obama and Hillary would have messed up 9/11 and the hunt for Osama.
Wow.
But it all took way too long, which took us from a surplus to a deficit.
Wow.
Okay, again.
Do I have to read number one? Yeah. You're going to make me read it?
I'll read it. I don't care. You read it?
Yeah, you read
number
it.
Number one. Of the top 10 worst presidents of all time.
Number one.
Number one, Barack Obama.
Shots fired.
Shots have been fired.
Oh, no, you didn't.
So, again, because people don't listen.
Cash them outside.
This is not our list.
Why don't we have a button for that yet?
I need to this make is, up.
How about that?
Craig's trying to read.
This is. I'm just trying to save us over here. This is not our list. I don't want bad messages from people.
I do want messages. Look, email us or text us or something. Let us know how you feel.
I just want to just people can't even learn how to use 911 when there's an emergency.
That's right.
I want them to understand that this is not our list.
After you get through dragging your kids around the neighborhood in a wagon tied to your car, email us. Let us know about your favorite and least favorite presidents.
Where to begin? This is Barack Obama.
Here we go.
No experience in his shows. Considered a weakling by every foreign leader, friend or foe.
Oh, man.
His recovery was worse than Bush's recession. And why? More unemployed now than under Bush. And considerably, this was written a while back, obviously. And considerably more poverty than in the Great Depression. Rammed through the stupidly named Affordable Care Act that simply won't work and will probably be the final nail in the U.S. economy. And he acts like Benghazi never happened, and despite the fact that the sole remaining superpowers just got four dead Americans, but hey, who's counting? And the boot, he did nothing about it.